It's important for us to celebrate the Lord, to sing His praises. And that's what I'm going to speak about tonight. Sing to the Lord. The book of Psalms is an entire book devoted to that. Every chapter in the Psalms is a song and was originally sung and is still being sung in Hebrew congregations. So it's something that is part of the Holy Scriptures and it is part of God's commandment for us. You may not have had the opportunity of reading the preface to an edition of the Psalms. This is from the Heritage Club, the Book of Psalms. But that preface is a very interesting statement of what the Psalms are all about. Mark Van Doren was the literary authority who wrote this preface. And I'd like to give you just a brief quotation. He says, "The Psalms are the supreme lyric poems of our world, and the book that contains them is the best book that we possess. This is not the judgment of an individual, it's the verdict of a civilization, arrived at daily in innumerable places. Nor are these places merely synagogues and churches, temples and monasteries and cathedrals, in all of which the Psalms are basic to worship, wherever it is most personal and intense. Just because the Psalms themselves are personal and intense, because they say, in one connection or another, all of the things that man can think and feel, they likewise are sovereign in the secular sphere. They sing for any soul that is completely serious, whether religion be present or not. Religion, of course, transmitted them to us. The Psalms were and are the heart of the Hebrew Bible. Its longest book, its most passionate, its most universally intelligible. This book was the creation of one people. But since the very genius of that people was religious, nothing prevented its poets from being understood by other peoples who could listen to their songs of hope and despair, of anger, of loving kindness, of thanksgiving, of praise. In those songs, they reached the limit of expression. Great everywhere, they were greatest here, and simplest and most communicative." It's a beautiful introduction to the Psalter in any time. And it is one of our precious possessions. The Psalter, the hymn book of Israel, is still our hymn book, and we may celebrate the Lord through it. Now, believers are commanded in Scripture to sing the praises of the Lord. So when the choirs do this, they are fulfilling the express commands of God, and that is a delight. I'd like you to turn to Psalm 30 in the Psalter, and we're going to look at some of those commands tonight to sing to the Lord and other expressions that show us that singing is an appropriate form of worship for God. In Psalm 30, David, dedicating the house, says, "I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up, and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Now, there's a beautiful expression of it right there. The command to sing to the Lord, which is what we do every Sunday, every Wednesday when we get together, we sing to the Lord. We don't sing to ourselves. And this is important for us to do and to understand what we are doing. We're fulfilling the injunctions of Scripture to worship and praise God in song and in prayer. Now, I'd like to go a little farther than this. Not only here in this context, but all through Scripture, we have commands to sing to the Lord. And I'd like us to go through some of those. You need not try to turn to all of these. You may get overwhelmed. But I want to show you the volume of material that is here telling us that we should be doing what you just heard the choirs do and which you just participated in, singing to the Lord. In Psalm 33 and verse 2, "Praise the Lord. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Yes, here again, commanded to sing with voice and with instruments, which is what we are doing here. In verses 3 and 4, sing unto him a new song, for the word of the Lord is right. We sing in the language of Scripture many times, drawn expressly from the Psalms and other places, singing to the Lord as he is revealed that we should. In Psalm 57, David says, my heart is fixed, O God. I will sing and give praise. I will sing unto thee among the nations. Verses 7 and 9. Here David expresses the fact that his heart is steadfast on this point. It is not something he's going to do and turn away from, something he's going to keep on doing. The sweet psalmist of Israel, he knew what he was doing. He was writing the prayer book for us. And psalm after psalm bears the title, the Psalm of David. That's what he did. Again and again, he was singing these things before the Lord. He was a great composer as well as a great musician. And these songs are still with us from the heart, and they help us express what is in our hearts when we wish to celebrate God's greatness. In Psalm 66, 1 and 2, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. And that's what we're doing in song, making his praise glorious in music. Now, he is worthy of that. He should be glorified, and we know there are many references in Scripture that we should bring glory to God. We can do so musically by singing his praises. In verse 4, he commands all the earth, sing unto thee. And yes, that's what we're doing, part of the celebration worldwide of the praise of God. In Psalm 68, verse 4, sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, Jehovah, and rejoice before him. We are singing to the Lord of the universe, the one who dwells in heaven. We're celebrating his greatness in the Hebrew name Jehovah, the great I am, and rejoicing before him as God, the continuing self-existent one. In Psalm 68, verse 32, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praise unto the Lord. We're commanded here again to sing. Whole kingdoms, nations, celebrate his praise. The time will come in glory when we will join with others in vast nations, praising him and celebrating him in song. That's something we can look forward to. And while we are here, we begin singing his praises in this realm. In Psalm 71, verse 22, unto thee will I sing with the harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. So here he is celebrating how great he is with musical instruments as well as with voices, and calling him the Holy One of Israel, singing his praises, calls to mind his holiness, his complete separation from sin, his righteousness. He is the holy God, and we celebrate him in that nature of holiness. The day will come when we too will be perfectly holy by the grace of the Lord Jesus, and in his presence in glory, sing these hymns again and celebrate his greatness. In Psalm 96, an appeal, O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. And in singing, we're singing the hymns of the faith, singing the great doctrines of the faith, showing forth the salvation that he has wrought on our behalf, a great object of worship in itself. In Psalm 98, verse 5, sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. Here expressly directing that we should sing and that we should use musical instruments to do it. So what we are doing is the fulfillment of scriptural commands. This is a blessing, a wonderful thought that we are obeying what Scripture says in having musical instruments here, in singing together. This is his will. He commands that we worship him so. And so it's a great delight to have those with good voices celebrate him and sing his praises together. In Psalm 101, verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. The various attributes of God are celebrated in the great hymns. We sing of his mercy, we sing of his judgment, both of them completely holy in the nature of God. He is merciful to those such as us who have called upon his name and asked for mercy and forgiveness. He is quick to impart that. But of judgment also, he is fair and honorable in his judgment. For those who spurn his love, the judgment will be harsh. They have earned it. But for those who cry for his mercy, his judgment is to impart mercy. How gracious he is. Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. So here the psalmist declares he's going to celebrate God in song as long as he has breath. As long as he is able to sing, he will sing to the Lord. And he will praise his God while he has the chance. That's something we should all think about. Celebrating God and praising God while we have the opportunity. It's wonderful to see these young people and children singing to the Lord, beginning life so early, celebrating his praises. If the Lord tarry, they may have many years of being able to sing his praise and celebrate how great he is. In Psalm 105, verses 1 and 2, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. And there's the direction to sing the biblical psalms. They are all originally songs of praise. And when we use the words of Scripture, we are singing in time-honored ways to celebrate his greatness and sing of his holiness and praise. In Psalm 108, verse 1, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. So here the psalmist is saying that he is determined in this celebration of God. It's not a passing fancy. My heart is fixed upon this. He's going to sing and praise God as long as he is able to. That should be a good purpose for every one of us, to sing and praise God as long as we are able to, as long as we are here. And remember, friends, when we leave this realm, we become professionals. In heaven, everyone has the right voice. Everyone is able to sing his praises. And we will join the throngs, multitudes of the saints of the past to continue singing the praises of God, something that all of us should look forward to. In Psalm 144, verse 9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. A new song. That'll be something that will be marvelous for us to contemplate. Here we sing the old hymns, the songs of praises that have been around for centuries, some of them. But in that realm, with the choirs of all ages, people from all nations, celebrating the greatness of God, singing his holiness and his grace, singing new songs. And we oftentimes don't consider what that's going to mean. When the whole body of Christian believers have a unity of faith and expression, they don't have to practice music. They don't have to drill themselves to do this. They're going to all think the same thing. And they're going to be able to celebrate with one voice as a vast choir, millions upon millions, singing the praises of God, all in tune, all in parts, all with a magnificent volume that we can only contemplate with wonder and awe of what the celestial choirs will be like. And everyone will be on pitch. Everyone will have perfect pitch. It's something that now we can hope for, but there will be the fulfillment, the perfection of musical art. In Psalm 149:1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints. Here's a command to continue praising the Lord, to sing to the Lord a new song. And that's the authorization for hymn writers today. We can write today words that are appropriate and music that is suitable to sing the praises of God. So it has been all through history. And it's thrilling to think of being able to sing someday with people like Chrysostom, so many centuries away. And yet he sang the praises of God. It was in Greek that he sang, but now we'll be able to sing, and he will be able to sing, and all of us share together the celebration of God. Everyone on pitch, everyone singing to the glory of God and the praise of his marvelous name. That is something to be looking forward to. Now, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 18 and 19 brings this subject up again. And he says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." Now, here's an aspect that we haven't considered. You don't have to be in church to sing God's praises. You don't have to be in a place where you can sing aloud to praise God. In your heart, you can sing to His glory. Even in a secular setting, even in a worldly place, you don't have to be silent inside. It may not be appropriate to you for you to express that in public, but in your heart, you can sing to the Lord. That's one thing that my mother taught me. She was, of course, a music teacher all her life. She taught piano, but she also trained choirs. And she was oftentimes singing hymns, not aloud, but I would ask her sometimes what she was doing. Sometimes her lips were moving. And she was saying, "You know, I was singing such and such a hymn." And it was all quiet, of course. But in her heart, she was singing to the Lord. And that's something to open to everyone. That way, no one knows whether you're on key or not. But the Lord hears, and the Lord knows, and He is able to receive such praise and celebration wherever you are, in whatever circumstances they may be. And this is what Paul is encouraging: singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. It's got to come from the heart. People who just sing out of the head, just sing because it's words on a page, you know, God is not listening to that. He's listening to those who sing from the heart, mean those words. In their hearts, feel the sense and power of those words and reach up in their heart to celebrate how great God is, how wonderful it is that we can be used of Him to sing His praises and to celebrate His greatness. That's something we should all cherish. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, the writer of the Hebrews says, "In the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto thee." Now, here is again authorization for our church worship services, singing hymns of praise and celebration. And that's appropriate. It is right for us to do so. And so what we're doing is something that pleases God. And we should recognize this. It is part of the true worship of the Lord. And it's wonderful to think that God would listen to us. One congregation, in His eyes, a little congregation. But the Lord is listening. He hears the praises of His people. He understands the praise that comes from the heart. And He cherishes the celebration of His goodness and greatness that congregations do. Now, it's interesting to me to recognize how this has gone on through the ages. And there are many that have celebrated God in song in the past. And oftentimes we don't realize what a great ministry that they had. Isaac Watts is one of those. I count it a privilege to have stood at his grave and to see the inscriptions on it of the many hymns that he had written. And to think of what it is to now be in the presence of God, to be able to sing with the angels, the celebration of God, and all the hymns that he wrote in praise to God. But a treat that will be for us all to share with him and others like that the celebration of the greatness of God in glory. James, in James 5:13, says, "Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." In other words, here is Scripture directing us in the pathway. If you are happy, if it's a good time for you, that's a good time to sing a psalm, to sing praise to God. And that's something that God is listening for. Too often we are spontaneous in singing worldly songs that may be pretty and even sentimental. But there are occasions when the hymn should come to mind, and when we can sing in our hearts to God, even though we may be in a busy commercial zone where it is not possible to sing actually, but in our hearts we can still sing His praises. Now, some of you are not comfortable singing. You don't have a good voice. You may not have good pitch. Don't worry. God is not worrying about that either. In your heart, if you have a song of praise to God, you can sing it inside. You can sing it to His glory. He's listening, and it's acceptable. He knows what comes from the heart. He cherishes the songs of His people, and their ability is neither here nor there. Their heart relationship to Him is everything. And when you are right with the Lord and desiring to sing His praises, He hears, He knows, and He accepts that worship, because to Him it is in tune. It is appropriate because you're singing from the heart what He deserves: His greatness, His praise, His might, His eternal love. And this is what the hymns do. Friends, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the musical ministry of this church. It is thrilling to my heart to hear these great hymns and see it sung by the youngest and the oldest, all together, joining in celebrating the greatness of God, singing to the Lord to bring praise and honor and glory to Him. My friends, keep it up. It's a tremendous blessing. And let me say to the choir, to Brother Eric and all who serve that way, it is a tremendous blessing to have music like that in a church. I can speak from the heart. Before I took this church, I traveled all over this country, and I preached in so many churches where the choir was a poor, miserable thing. The music was what I would call dreadful. And I would have to preach after that, which is hard. Here, I must say, it is a delight to preach after songs that have warmed the heart and lifted our souls into the presence of God. And we can call people's attention to the greatness of God and the power of His Word, and celebrate Him with song and with scripture and with heartfelt worship. This is what we come to church for. Thank God. Let's pray. O Lord, how we thank Thee for the privilege we have of singing to Thee Thy greatness and Thy love and the worship of Thee. We ask, O Lord, that Thou wilt indeed seal to our hearts the message of the great hymns and Thy holy word, and help us in our hearts that we may sing Thy praises day and night as they come to mind, that we may celebrate how great Thou art and what Thou hast done for us in sending Thy dear Son to this world to die, that we might live forever and join our voices to the company there to sing forever Thy greatness and Thy majesty and Thy love. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.